I thank you for all the folks that are here. What a blessing. And Lord, I thank you also for all that are listening online or who will listen online. We're just so grateful and just in awe of how you reveal yourself to us through your word. We just thank you. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Did you know that Jesus, in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul said that he's already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Did you know that? So if you say I'm blessed, you're just agreeing with God. So it doesn't matter how you feel, it doesn't matter what circumstances you're facing, it's I'm blessed. But if you'll turn to Psalm 32, I want to show you some things about things that can stop the blessings in our lives. How many would rather be blessed than anything else, right? I'm not cursed, I'm blessed. You know, when things are going wrong, when things don't seem to be going right, when things seem to be against me, I have to begin to declare to the heavens, declare to myself, declare to anybody that's listening, I'm blessed in Jesus' name. Come on. I've got to tell myself, if God before me, who can be against me? And the love of God that's been shed abroad in my heart will always be there for me. Come on. But I can get, you know, somebody termed it the Molly Grubbs or in that self-pity, that you know, why is everything bad always happening to me and that kind of thing. It's easy to get involved with that, but that'll stop some things in your life that God wants to bring through. Hey, here's the deal. I've already won the victory. Glory, I'm already dead in Jesus. I'm already alive in God. So come on, baby, take your best shot. You know, say what you want to say about me. Kill me, destroy me with your words. It doesn't matter because I know that I'm with God and He's with me. Psalm 32, verse 1, we're going to look at the whole thing tonight. But we are blessed. But I want to just read the first four words. Blessed is he whose. Blessed is he whose. Now, that qualifies some things. You're blessed if you're one of those who's. Come on. I'm a who's. And there's all kinds of things, you know, in the Bible that I'm that. God so loved the world, so I'm one of those people of the world that God loves, right? I'm lovable, right? I'm in Him. But watch this. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, or in whose spirit there is no deceit or no guile. Now we look at that and we go, I'm forgiven. How many are forgiven in this place, right? If Jesus is Lord of your life and you've asked for forgiveness, He's forgiven you. I'm part of that. I'm in that. But this is really interesting, the last phrase it says, in whose spirit there's no deceit. Deceit's an interesting thing because oftentimes deception is something that you believe to be true that's not true. Or something that you've talked yourself into being true that may not have any facts behind it. But you're right. You know you're right. Come on. You know you're right. You know you're right. Come on. I'll tell you a story. Years ago, my son was about 12 years old, and he had a friend over to his house, and Michael had a wallet that had $50 in it. And that $50, the wallet went missing, but he had a friend over. And we happened to take this friend to, back in the day when the sports card, you know, it's like Ken Griffey Jr. card and all that, there was a sporting card store that you went to and traded cards. We went in there, me and Michael and his friend, and his friend just happened to buy a Ken Griffey rookie card for $50. So you know where my mind went. Come on. 2 + 2 = 4, right? But in the back of my heart, I said, don't say anything. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. And I didn't. But yet I knew. I knew the truth was that little sucker stole that money. Well, it was about 4 months later, we pulled Michael's bed away from the wall, and it slipped down in between that crack, and there was his wallet with the $50 in it. See, the thing that I knew to be true wasn't true. So, in my heart, I was deceived. And tonight, here's the deal. We want to be people that are not deceived. So I want to tie the next verses to what I'm talking. It said, when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, and my vitality was turned into the drought of summer. God was dealing with the writer of the Psalms. And he was saying, I got this thing that's in your heart that we need to deal with. But he said he was not allowing that to be dealt with. So he was in a dry season. You ever been through a dry season? They, where's God? What's happened? All of this stuff. Well, maybe, just maybe, the answer is in seeking God and asking Him, Lord, what's in my heart? What's in my heart? And watch this. Any time that you are not open to God revealing some things about you to you, then you're in a place where the blessing cannot come to you. Right? And so what we want the blessing. Just make me a blessing, God. Just I want to be blessed so that I can be a blessing. And He's done that over and over again. But Lord, I want Your Spirit. I want Your way. I want Your life to be going through me. And if there's any dam in that, I need to come to the place where I understand that it's You and I here, and You're dealing with me and not anybody else. See, the things that will keep us with a deceitful heart is when we are blaming others for our situation. When we're denying, when we're making excuses for. You've probably never done this, but I have in the past. Well, I wouldn't have got mad if they wouldn't have. See, what I've just done is I've allowed deceit. And in my heart, there's deception, right? Because at the core of the problem isn't what somebody does to you. It's what you allow to affect you. Come on. Nobody can make us anything that we don't allow in our heart. And God always wants us to see truth, because truth is the very thing that will get us closer to God. You know, in heaven, God isn't up there going, well, I'm gonna share most of the truth. But you know, I don't want them to be upset with me, so I'm not gonna tell them the whole truth. Right? No, He's up there, here it is, baby. Here it is. Here it is. But watch this. Jesus paid the price for your total forgiveness. Jesus paid the price, not only for your total forgiveness, but for the effect of the things that you violated to cease to exist in your life. He's forgiven us of all of our sins, and we're cleansed from all the trespasses. That means there's nothing that's accounted to me. Let's go back through this in the first few verses, because this is really incredible. In the first few verses, it says that we're forgiven, we're covered, and it's not imputed. In other words, there's not a record of what you did back in 1932. Hopefully that... Right, what's that? You look real good, yeah. Yeah, see, you do. Naturally and spiritually. But watch this. It's up to us to say, God, I trust You so much that what You say is right is right. And what You say is wrong is wrong. David said this. He said, show me my heart, Lord. You show me my heart. Why? Because I don't know my heart fully. But if I want to be in the blessing of God, I've got to allow Him to expose my heart to Him and to me. Show me. Show me. And then we have to have a heart that says, Lord, whatever it is in my heart that isn't lined up with Your heart, I want changed. How many know we have strongholds in our heart because we aren't changing our minds toward the Word of God? Right, forgive. Well, yeah, God, but you don't understand what they did to me. That's not an issue. See, as long as that's your issue, what they did to you, you'll never be at a place where the full blessing of God can come to you. So it holds you outside of the blessing of God. And tonight, it's I want to be one of those who's. Right? Not only my sins are forgiven and all of that, but my heart is completely right with God, and there's no deception in my heart. So God, I'm giving you my heart. I'm giving you permission to look at me. And how many have ever been hurt by somebody else? Everybody, right? I mean, everybody. But the first place that when we were in prayer, we talked to God about changing them. God, and if you've really been hurt, God, obviously they're an idiot. Right? or they wouldn't have done something like that to me. I mean, me. God, this is me you're talking about. Right? And so where our prayer is God, change them. God, fix them. And the reality is you have no control over that, for one thing. That's between them and God. But you do have a place where God wants to deal with you about your part in it. It's very, very, very rare when a situation is only one-sided. come on. And so I don't want to deal with their side necessarily, but I want to deal with my side. Come on. Why? Because there's freedom. Now watch this. How many believe the Scripture? Galatians 2:20 says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And I live by the faith in the Son of God. Watch this. Who died for me and gave Himself for me. You're already dead. A dead man doesn't think about how things affect them. Now this might seem a little morbid to you, but it's not to me. When we zipped up my mom in that body bag, she could have cared less what she was wearing. Right? And so a dead person doesn't let affect them what others see. So we have to live out of a crucified life in order for the blessings to be with us all the time. And so watch this. I heard this and this just struck me. There was a wife, and she, for years and years, her husband was a jerk, and, you know, not that anybody can identify with that, but her husband was a jerk, and he wasn't saved. He was treating her wrong. So 13 years went by. And this lady said to God, all right, God, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done with him, and I'm done with you. For 13 years, I've been praying for him, and nothing has changed. And the Lord got a hold of her in that state and said, first of all, you haven't been praying out of love for him. You've been praying out of convenience for you. And as long as you're the focus, I cannot answer your prayers. Come on. So what's happening? He's saying, listen, you haven't been praying out of the love for your husband. When somebody messes you over, and I mean, there's some atrocious things done, right? And some of you have had atrocious things done to you. How can you forgive and love and pray for that person? How can you do that? How can you bless them? Because you're not looking at their action. You're looking at the spirit or the hurt or whatever happened to them to put them in the position to do what they're doing. And you're in a position then to pray for the deliverance of their soul for whatever has them captive. You see, you have their best interest at heart and not yours. That's when we can get to the place where God can bless us. So we have to have our hearts in a place where we're not deceiving ourselves and we're open to what God is saying to us. Amen? Now watch. Let's go on. I love this. For I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity have I not hidden. See, this is coming later after the drought and after the, you know, things weren't right. He said, I acknowledge my sin to you, my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me in the iniquity of my sin. You see, an unrepentant heart is not a candidate for the blessing of God. An unrepentant heart is not a candidate for the blessing of God. So it would behoove us to get in touch with our heart, and wherever our heart is outside of the Word of God, to get it back in line with the Word of God, because we want to walk in the blessing of God. You know what blessing means? It means to be happy. It means to be joyful. It means to have a life that's full of joy and peace. And you know, you can have that in the midst of stuff. In the midst of famine. In the midst of sickness. In the midst of lack. In the midst of, you know, relational struggles. I mean, really, it makes people mad when you're in the middle of a situation that you should be angry and mad and depressed and all of that, where you got a big old smile on your face. Right? And the only reason that you can or do is because your heart is in commune with God and say, God, as long as you're with me, I don't care what happens. This is all outside stuff. This is just outside stuff. But when, watch this, when we are triggered by something that leads us to a place where we're not open to God and we're bitter or we're angry, what we've just did is we've located ourselves that we're not dead to ourselves anymore. That old man's been risen from the dead right now. But we can get to the place where God, I'm going to leave them with you and I'm going to trust you. As long as I have your presence, Lord, nothing else matters to me. Come on, I want to be at peace. I want to be at the place where but repentant heart is so vital to this state of being. I think it's in Romans that Paul said, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It's God's goodness that leads us to repentance. Why? Because He wants to bless our heart. He wants our hearts to be blessed. But as long as we're in denial, as long as we're blaming somebody else, as long as we're feeling sorry for ourselves, as long as we're at the place where I don't deserve this and blah, 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 you know, and I am not minimizing the pain that anybody has gone through, but what I want to do is release you from the trap of where you're at and get you over that to the place where you can be blessed even if your circumstances don't change. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, I've seen people and I've witnessed a few people who've died and walked them through the process of that over the years. And there are so many different experiences. There's some who don't know God and they're just miserable and they're just, you know, they're just mad and they're just angry and they don't understand and all of that. And you know, you try to minister to them, but they're not in the place to where they receive it. And this isn't fair. How come this, even Christians, this isn't fair. How come God hasn't healed me? How come this and that? I was believing God and blah, 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 blah. And the reality of that is you need to get with God with your heart and get your heart changed. Because whether you live or die, watch this, your being in Him and with Him is more important than the physical pain that you're going, or the emotional pain, or the financial stress, or any of that. Right? Glory to God. You know, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. What part of that don't you understand? Right? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Yeah, but I don't know, and I don't know what's going to happen, and you know, this could happen, and that could happen, and blah, 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 blah. It's like, no. Your unbelief is keeping you from peace. And what you have to do is you have to repent of your unbelief. Come on. God, I believe you this much, but in this area, I'm not so sure. What do you need to do with that? You need to repent. When God says something and you say, well, yeah, but I don't know if that's really true for me. What you've just said is, God, I really don't believe you. And the only thing you can do with that is repent. Recognize it and repent. Do you remember the fellow that came to Jesus and the disciples, you know, messed it up and all that, and Jesus turned to the guy and said, you know, all things are possible to those who believe. And I love his honesty, and his heart was this. He said, Lord, I believe. I'm going to quote it to you in the King James. But help thou my unbelief. So in other words, he said, here's where I'm at, Lord. I believe, but I'm really struggling here. Help me. See, God can bless that. Why? Because it's sin or shortcomings that it's exposed to the grace of God. But when you hide something in your heart and you fail to repent of it, what you're doing is you're shielding it from the grace that brings not only forgiveness, but the fruit of forgiveness. Come on. And we don't want that. Lord, the devil's so slick. He's a liar. But we're not ignorant of his schemes. He wants to keep you trapped. He wants to keep you broke. He wants to keep you busted. He wants to keep you full of pain. He wants to keep you depressed. And he does that by pushing the feel sorry for yourself button. Or looking at the world on how it affects you. Right? And all of us, look at, I mean, honestly, all of us come from that perspective. I don't get up in the morning and look through your eyes. I look through mine. But if I'll die to myself and say, Lord, I want to see your perspective, all of that can change. And that's the place of peace and rest and joy. Are y'all getting something tonight? But I have to be like David. Lord, look at my iniquity. I repent of my iniquity. I repent of my wrongdoing. I repent because, Lord, your presence is more important than my being right. How many like to be right? How many know that, I mean, just think about it. In all of your, you know, conflicts that you've had with people, just admit it, you've been more right than anybody else. Let me ask you a question. How is that possible? Let me tell you, it's not. And the reason that you're more right than everybody else is because you haven't really let God examine you. Oh man, I'm glad I came to church tonight. Glory to God. But what I'm telling you is, is when you get to the position where you absolutely love God to expose things to you so that you can rush to repent. Because then your trust is completely in Him. Glory, I want to walk in the blessing of God. Then repentance has to be a part of your life. And I'm not talking about repenting for things that you might have done, could have done, you know, that whole sin consciousness attitude. That's not what I'm talking about at all. But what I'm saying is, Lord, I want my heart to be exposed to You. So when I'm in conflict or I'm in trials or whatever, I'm not coming for You to fix it first of all. I'm coming at You first of all to put my heart before You and allow You to speak to my heart about me in this situation, not about anybody else. And how many know that oftentimes you already know what He's going to say? Right? It's like when you're a kid and you really wanted to do something and you knew your mom wasn't going to let you, but you decided, I'm just going to ask her anyway. But and she tells you exactly what you thought she'd tell you, and I knew you were going to say that anyway. Well, then why did you ask, right? And the reality is, as many of us know in our hearts what God has already said. If you've read the book, then you know what He said. You know what He thinks about certain things. And you know what His thoughts are. So let's just get ahead of the game and say, Lord, I'm waking up this morning, and You're right. But let me say that again. God, You're right. And wherever I'm against You, I'm wrong. I don't know everywhere I'm against You, so Holy Spirit, please show me so that I can change my heart, change my attitude, and change my actions to be a better reflection of who You are. Come on, is that good? That's good, because I want to be a blessing. I want to bless people. I hate it when this happens, but it's happened to me more than once, several times, where I'm praying about a situation and I'm really praying for the person that's offended me or the person that's mad at me or whatever. And I'm just, Lord, you know, help them, bless them, fix them, whatever I'm praying. Lord, do that. And if I'll get quiet, He'll say, I want you to go ask them for forgiveness. But, God, why? Well, if you're open, He'll tell you why. And you're not the keeper of the scale where you can go, well, I might have done this little wrong, but they did all of this wrong. Lord, shouldn't they be apologizing to me? And it's just like your mom said, I'm not Johnny's mother. I'm your mother. And you're going to do this. Right? See, that's a place of parental love. And the Bible says that whom God loves, He chastens or He disciplines or He guides. Right? And some of God's guide, Lord, direct me. I trust You, Lord. You're going to direct me in all the paths of my life. Glory to God. Well, some of that is going to hurt. And I'm not talking about physically. I'm not talking about torment or anything like that. What I'm saying is your flesh is not going to like it. Come on. And you've got to get to the place where flesh, you do not control me. Paul said it this way, I buffet my body. And I like the Amplified. It says, I beat my body like a boxer into subjection. See, what's he doing? He's saying, my spirit, my heart is what controls me because my heart is absolutely controlled by the Spirit of God. And when my flesh doesn't like it, it's got to get in line with what I want because I want what he wants. See, blessed is he who's, right? And I want to be one of those he who's. Not a you-who, but a he-ho. But I want to be one of those who's blessed. So I want my sins to be forgiven. I want my iniquity to be covered. I don't want anything imputed against me. we live in an age where, and I think we've done a disservice in the church to the point that we talk so much about grace, that, and we should talk a lot about grace. Grace is awesome. But we've taken it to the place where, you know, if you sin, God will forgive you. And that's true. But it comes over to the place where, well, go ahead and sin because God's grace has already covered it. First of all, why would you think that way? Why would you do that? Let me tell you about my relationship with my dad. I always wanted to, and I love my dad, but I always wanted to please him. I wanted him to honor and respect me. And if I did anything wrong, and I knew it disappointed him, it would be awful. Are you listening to me? So watch this. One day, my brother and I and a friend of ours, little Jimmy, we were walking home from soccer practice. And we lived probably 2 miles from where the play field was. But in those days, you just let kids walk because it was not, you know, it was pretty safe, or at least we thought it was at the time. I'm not sure how safe it was. But anyway, we walked back, and it was a hot day in the fall. And Jimmy says, "Hey, let's go get an ice cream bar." "Well, we don't have any money." "Well, I know how to get it." So we went in there, three of us bumbling boys, and we tried to shoplift these little ice cream bars. Of course we got caught. Right? We got caught. And it's really funny. So the manager, this was back before they'd call the police and do all of that. The manager says, "Well, boys, have your parents call me when you get home." And so we're on the way home, and we happen to have one dime. And little Jimmy thought, "I know what I'll do." He got on the phone, called the store, and said, "This is Mr. Madrid." And of course the manager said, "Jimmy, have your dad call me when you get home," right? And so I'll never forget it. And as I'm telling you this story, I'm seeing it in my mind's eye. My brother and I walk into the back door of our house, and Mom is sitting at the table. And I don't know why Dad was home at this particular time, because it seemed too early for him to be home. But anyway, he was standing right next to her. And my dad looked at us and he said this. He said, "Boys, I trusted you and you let me down. Don't ever do it again." Now, I wish he'd have beat me with a baseball bat. That hit to the core of me more than anything, and it shaped me till now. "Boys, I trusted you, and you let me down." You see, I wanted to please my father. I wanted to be pleasing to my father. So my relationship with God has to at least be that. "God, I love you." And he said, "Son, I love you too. And I trusted you, but you let me down. Don't do it again." That's repentance. And your attitude or your reaction to God is saying, "Okay, God." My attitude towards sin, our attitude towards sin should be, "Lord, if you don't like it, I don't want to do anything to displease you. Even if it brings me pleasure for a moment, I don't want it in my life." Right? I'm talking about living in the blessing, but we have to be at the place where we're allowing God to speak to us, and we're allowing our flesh to take second place to God's voice. Many people don't hear God's voice because they're listening through their flesh and not through their spirit. Y'all doing okay? Am I doing all right? Now watch. Let me give you a story. There was a fellow and his wife. They've been in church for a while, but anyway, they decided they wanted a new truck. Well, they couldn't afford a new truck. There's no way. But this was back in the day where they'd give you something, even though they knew you couldn't afford it, and they knew they'd probably come and get it, you know, a year down the road. They'd just sell it to you anyway because the salesman didn't care. He just wanted the commission. And if he could get the sale, he'd do whatever. Well, anyway, we felt led of the Lord, and the Lord led us to this truck, and the Lord gave us this truck. But on the inside, I'm going, no, he didn't. See, they were being led by what they wanted rather than seeking what God wanted. How many of us have done that? How many of us have done that and then later blamed God because it didn't work out the way that we thought it should work out? So what I'm talking about tonight is living in the blessing by living in a relationship with God that's honest and true and open to whatever He has to say to us. I want to be led by the Spirit. I know you do. But you want to be led by the Spirit so that you can have this and this and this and this and this and this. How about wanting to be led by the Spirit because you want to be closer to Him? That's got to be our motivation. Our motivation has to be Him and not us. Are you catching it? Verse 6. It says, "For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in the flood of great waters you shall come near." Look at this. Everyone who's godly at a time like this will come to you. At a time like what? When things aren't going right and you're seeking Him for what it is in you that may be at fault in the situation or that may be lacking or that may not be trusting. It's, Lord, this is between me and you. And if you just have this feeling on the inside of you that something's not right, stay in His presence until He reveals what it is. And then when He does, do something about it. Because that's what godly people do. Do you know that godly people aren't just the, you know, I better be careful. But we've watched people do miracles, and we've watched people on TV, and we've watched people who have great reputations, and they lay hands on the sick, or they're really eloquent speakers, and you go, oh man, those are godly people. You don't know that. Because giftness, charisma, is not the same thing as character. People can be gifted and they're not letting God deal with their character, and eventually their character will overcome their charisma, and that's why you see great falls. So they talk about being blessed because of the external things that they have. Look at my ministry. Look at my church. Look at the homes I have. Look at the cars I have. Look at all of this. But on the inside, they're barren because they aren't doing what we're talking about tonight. And that's putting my heart before God and say, here you go, God. And I want your truth. I want what you have to say, no matter what I think, no matter how it affects me, because you're right. You're right. I'll bet you never read Psalm 32 like this before. There's a song that we sing. It was one of my favorite songs. And it goes, "You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you." See, you can only sing that song if your heart is a place where it's open to Him to be right. He's not going to be your hiding place if you're deceived in your heart. He's not going to deliver you from something into something worse. He's going to deliver you from something into His will. Glory to God. Glory to God. But He wants to. He wants you set free. He wants you out of torment. He wants you out of pain. He wants you out of sorrow. He wants you out of deception. He wants to reveal Himself to you. Your part is coming to Him and stopping long enough and quieting yourself down and listening to what He has to say. It's amazing to me, and I'm just as guilty as anybody else of this, that I spend more time in my prayer time talking to Him than I do listening to Him. Right? Okay, I'm going to pray for 15 minutes in the Spirit. I'm going to pray. Well, 15 minutes over, I'm out the door. I think it would be much better off if we prayed maybe for 5 minutes in the Spirit and forced ourselves to be quiet for 10 and let God speak to our heart. And if we don't get it all that time, the next morning say, Lord, I got a little bit of that, but would You deal with that again? Because I want my heart to be more in line with Your heart. I'm teaching you tonight how to be free. I really am. I really am. And I trust that God is speaking this to you. And it may be answering some of the questions that you've had for years. God, why is it that everybody else seems to be getting free and I'm not? Maybe there's an area of deception that God wants to deal with. But You are my hiding place. You shall preserve my life from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or the mule who have no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and a bridle, else they would not come near you. This is God speaking right now. He said, come on, I'll guide you. I'll lead you. I'll show you where I want you to go. But don't be like that I have to pull, that I have to force, because that's not the kind of God I am. I gave you a free will, and I don't want a people that are forced to me, or I wouldn't have given you a free will. I want you to be a people that want to be with me and want to walk with me and want the truth as I see it. Come on. Anybody in the room want to be that type of person? That's me. I don't always measure up to that, but that's me. That's me. That's me. Come on, Lord. Come on. Come on. Look at this. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, and don't misunderstand me. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But when I'm submitted to my own will, then I'm inviting wickedness into me. And when I'm in that position, I'm sorry, it's going to be hard. There's going to be sorrow involved. But if I'll trust in the Lord in everything, if I'll be thankful to Him no matter what's going on, if I'll really believe that God's with me, and if God is with me, who can be against me? If I really get to the point where I say, Lord, You're everything to me. And if Your glory is with me, what are these things around me? I may not like them. They may be uncomfortable. I may not have the best of everything. But Lord, as long as You're in the house, I'm good. I'm good. Your relationship with Him based on truth is everything. Now look at this, verse 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. How many know, and I've preached on this before, but to rejoice is a choice. To rejoice is a choice. I think shouting for joy is a choice. But isn't that phony? If you're in the middle of struggle, isn't it phony to be shouting for joy? I would tell you that it's just the opposite. Because He's with me in trouble. I'm not shouting for what I'm going through, but I'm shouting for who I'm going through it with. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. I want to be around Him because His joy is infectious, contagious. If I spend enough time in Him, I'll be laughing in the midst of anything. Right? You know, some people get drunk in alcohol so they can escape their problems, and they laugh at stupid things and make fools of themselves because they're in a different spirit. But the Holy Spirit will get you so drunk in Him that your cares will seem small in comparison with the care that He has for you. Glory to God. I want to be in His presence. I want to be blessed. But I have to be at the place where my heart is after His truth, not my way. I want to make Him right and not me right. I want His rightness to be involved with my life, irregardless of anybody else. Those closest to me or those far away, whether Democrats, Republican, whether they're this or whether they're that, none of that has an effect on my relationship with Him. And that's what has to be first place in my life, because He is my hiding place. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. And all those that are listening, Lord, online, You are our hiding place, Lord. We ask You to just reveal Yourself to us. And all of those, Father, who are listening, I just pray that You hear what I'm saying tonight. I'm not judging You. I'm not saying I'm better than You. We're all in the same position. Our hearts can be very deceptive. But if we'll trust God and if we'll ask God to show us our heart, He'll lead us to the truth. So, Lord, we ask that in Jesus' name, that everybody listening, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you don't even think that God is real, if you ask Him to reveal Himself, He will. Ask Jesus into your heart. Make Him Lord. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God's raised Him from the dead, and you'll enter into a relationship with Him. Don't blame God for the people who've misrepresented Him. He loves you, and He wants to reveal Himself to you. Holy Spirit, just hover over the Word tonight and impress it into our hearts. Thank You, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, God is good, isn't He? He's so good, He's so good, He's so good. If anybody needs prayer, I'd be happy to pray with you. But just spend a few minutes.